Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday, March the 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2017. I'm Pastor Tom Baker here on Worldwide KFUO, and that means anyone can call in on Open Mic Friday in the St. Louis area. The number is 821-0850. Anywhere in North America, it's 1-800-730-2727. Last week, we had a guest, and she was very good, from California. She'll be coming back probably in June. We'll have her on the air again. But today I'm by myself. So if you've got any questions at all of a theological nature, don't hesitate to give me a ring. In the meantime, I just heard the announcement on Issues Etc. They're on from 3 to 5 in the afternoon. And Dr. L. Schmidt is going to be on there talking about law and gospel. And so we encourage you to tune in to Issues Etc. every day, Monday through Friday, from 3 to 5. And many of you are aware of the fact that I'm also involved with them on Tuesdays normally, doing the Sunday school lesson for Concordia Publishing House. So, without any further ado, let's see if we can get to the phone calls right now and talk to somebody who is interested in giving us a question. And it looks like we've got Herman on the line. Hi, Herman.
Good morning, Pastor Baker. You mentioned Thursday about the reports of these churches putting glitter into the ashes on Ash Wednesday distribution. While the practice of ash distribution has been one of piety that's been accumulated in the church, nevertheless, it would appear that putting the glitter in there for their motives of promoting the LGBTP agenda would be in violation in intention of the first three commandments of the first table of the law.
You are absolutely correct. The commandments, if we're talking about the first table of the law, the first three deal with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and remember the Sabbath day. And I would also say they also deal with the other seven commandments. For example, to bear false witness means to tell a lie about what God's witness is to the world. And unfortunately, individuals who are in that kind of a lifestyle and are addicted to it, when they speak about to children, for example, that there's no problem with having this kind of a lifestyle. You were born that way. Don't worry about it. That would be definitely bearing false witness against God himself.
Indeed, we see it there as well. So their intention is not to repent, but to celebrate that type of lifestyle.
Yes, and the season of Lent is specifically in preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ, with the Holy Week of Palm Sunday, Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter. And it is a preparation, as John the Baptizer showed very clearly, of repentance. So if we have individuals who refuse to repent, then that doesn't do well for the season of Lent.
There seem to be some advocates of this movement that would take a posture that they don't need to repent. It's the rest of the church that needs to repent.
Yes, they put themselves in the same category. For example, if the church came out against people because of the color of their skin, see, that's the way that they're born, they say, and therefore that would be racism. Similarly, if you come out against someone because of their lifestyle, the way that they were born, then that also is cruel and unusual punishment towards these people and condemnation. But what they forget I recently saw an old Law and Order. I think it was about 20 years ago, but it was about a pedophile who had been arrested. And it was really, in fact, I taped it. It was such a good program. He used the very same arguments that LGBT use. He says, look, I was born this way. God intended me to have it this way. And therefore, if I'm fooling around with a child who is willing to do that, then I don't see why I should be held as being a sinner.
Indeed, it gets to where we can get back to the Garden of Eden and the devil's skepticism of the Word of God.
Absolutely, there's no doubt about that.
Thank you, Pastor.
I sure appreciate your call. Thank you so much. Okay, and that took care of that. Let's see, I see a note up here. If you are mad at your neighbor and you die, are you condemned? That's an excellent question. Not necessarily. It depends why you're mad at your neighbor. If you're mad at your neighbor for something he's done to you, and what he has done to you may make you angry, that necessarily doesn't mean that you're not going to be saved. Because here's how I always answer a question when somebody asks, if I'm doing this, could I be saved? I always ask the question, well, did Jesus ever do it? And I'm going to change the word mad to angry. Was Jesus ever angry at anybody? Well, yes. He was angry at the Pharisees. He referred to their father as the devil. He was angry at his own disciples. Remember Peter? Oh, don't worry, Lord. We'll take care of you when you get to Jerusalem. You won't be crucified. Get thee behind me, Satan. He was angry at the people in the temple, took a whip into there. Now, does that mean that Jesus was sinning? No. There's righteous anger and there's unrighteous anger. But I would assume from the question, we're talking about an anger that somebody feels bad about, but they're unable to stop from doing. So this is really critical, what I'm about to say next. There are two kinds of sins. I've spoken at length about them. The one kind are sins of commission. The other kind are sins of omission. Good works we're supposed to do and we don't. Now, which category does this particular question fit? It sounds like it's a sin of commission because you're angry with someone. But it's really a sin of omission in that you can't stop the anger. If it's unrighteous anger, you may be angry at somebody because they got a promotion ahead of you, or that maybe they took the friend you wanted and they became friends with them and they're no longer friends with you. There may be many kinds of unrighteous anger that we have towards someone. How does God resolve that problem? Well, it's really a law and gospel point of view. Here is the definition of law. And this is particularly from a Lutheran point of view. The law, those are God's demands upon us. Like, do not let anger go down during the sun. If you're angry with someone, don't go to the Lord's Supper. Go and make up to them. All kinds of rules by God about not being unrighteously angry at someone. Jesus never was unrighteously angry. He always was righteously angry, but you and I were sinners, so we often get our self-interests mixed up, and therefore there can be occasions when we are angry with someone, we don't like them, we don't want to speak to them or something like that, and that is an inability to control ourselves and do good. Well, if it's a sin of commission, then in repentance, one can be forgiven. So forgiveness is the antidote to sins of commission. But what if it is a sin of omission, a good work that you're unable to do? Is there any gift that God has given us? When I distribute the Lord's Supper now at Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm, the people come forward and receive. I give out the bread, the body of Christ, and then I have two elders helping with individual cups and the main cup. And I often will say this, take, eat, this is the body of Christ for you, for the forgiveness of sins, and for the robe of righteousness. The robe of righteousness. Why do I mention that? Because, see, that's the antidote that God has given to us in regard to good works we're unable to do. As we fear God, which is proper repentance, that we're unable to do the good work, God dresses us in his robe of righteousness. And guess what? We now are going to heaven. So if you're afraid because of what you have done, then that is proper repentance, and therefore you have no fear. All righty. Let's go on to the phone lines again and talk with Eve. Eve, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
It's been explained many times to me, but I always forget and I always feel guilty. But in the Lord's Prayer, when we say, and forgive us our debts as we forgive others, I don't want God forgiving me like I forgive others.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Let me ask you a very simple question. You're a Christian, so you already know the answer, and my job is to get the answer out of you. When you properly forgive someone, and I'm not saying you do that all the time because I don't either, but when we do properly forgive, how are we able to do that? When we forgive someone, we do it in light of what? In light of what Jesus did on the cross for us.
Okay.
When you pray the Lord's Prayer, it is a misunderstanding to say, forgive us our trespasses insofar as we forgive the sins of others. Because guess what? Huh. Then forgiveness would be on the basis of your work. The way that that prayer should be understood is, forgive us our trespasses in the same way that we are enabled to forgive others their trespasses because Christ has died on the cross for them. What you're asking the Father to do is to forgive your trespasses, not on the basis of anything that you have done, but rather on the basis of what Christ has done. And that's how we forgive others in Christ. And we're asking the Father to forgive us in the same way. So we never need to worry about whether God is going to forgive us, because the only question we need to ask is, did Jesus Christ die on the cross and did he say, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do? And in light of the fact that he did say that, your sin is forgiven.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
And we're going to go on down the line. Let's talk to, hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Here's my question. You know, you were talking about the transfiguration. You called it metamorphosis.
That's the original Hebrew,
right?
Greek.
Right, the Greek, right. Well, wasn't the transfiguration, it really wasn't an objective experience, but it was subjective because it really didn't happen. But Jesus did. It was like a preview of the future, and that doesn't really happen until after Jesus is resurrected.
No, the transfiguration occurred before he was resurrected. If you had had a camera there, you would have seen a brilliant light, and unless you have a pretty good lens, it probably would have blocked out the camera. It really did happen, Mike.
Why do they call it a vision then?
Oh, because if on Judgment Day, will you see Jesus?
Yes.
You will have a vision of him.
Well, wouldn't I be seeing the real thing?
Well, yes, but that is what a vision can be. It's seeing the real thing.
Oh, okay. I thought visions weren't reality. because that's the way they put it in my Bible. They have like in a parentheses. And they said what they saw was a vision, not a reality. That's why I brought the question up.
That's really good. I appreciate that, Mike, because in case other people are confused about that, we want to make it very clear that a vision can be a reality. Just like when I'm going home, I will have a vision of my wife preparing lunch. Guess what? That is real. So, yeah, we don't believe that visions are something that are not occurring. Let's see if I'm trying to think of. Oh, yeah. When Elijah went up in a chariot to heaven and Elisha saw that, did he see a vision of that? Yes, he did. In the sense that he actually was seeing it. But boy, that was a supernatural vision. That doesn't mean it doesn't occur. It means that's what you're seeing with your own eyes. Going on, let's go speak with Roland. Hi, Roland. You're on the air.
Well, Pastor, on the Transfiguration, was Moses in his glorified body?
Excellent question.
Another question for you, Pastor. On Jude 9, verse 9, where did that come from about Michael arguing with Satan about Moses' burial?
Yes. I was just going to mention that. There are some who believe that Michael, by God's command, did take the body of Moses to heaven after he had been buried. Others aren't so sure about that. I don't have a problem with Moses appearing on the Mount of Transfiguration, even if his body was still in the ground, because Moses was in heaven in the spirit. And remember, angels are spirits, and two of them, along with Jesus Christ, visited Abraham, and they even had a meal there. So it's not wrong to say that a spirit, namely an angel, can appear in human form and even eat. Therefore, it's possible that Moses, who had died, was buried, that we're not really sure whether he had been raised from the dead, like Elijah, where he was taken right up into heaven, or whether or not he was still just in the spirit, his body was still in the ground. And that's a debate that scholars have, and there's no clear answer in the Bible, so you can hold to either side of that debate.
Okay, and that God can do anything he wants to do.
I'm glad you added that last part on, because God cannot do anything. He cannot send a Christian to hell. Once God makes a promise, he limits himself to what he can do. But if he wants to do something and has not made a promise contrary to that, then you are absolutely correct, Roland. He can do anything. So if he wants to bring the spirit of Moses and have him appear on that Mount of Transfiguration, he'd have no problem doing it because he is God. That's an excellent point, Roland.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Anybody else can call. Numbers are 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. We want to tell you, last night we had a really important Bible study. We finished the study on the prophecies at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm of the Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament. I thought we'd get to about 300, but we had 284. I'm still of the a point of view that Pastor Peter Kurowski told me he thinks there's about 1,000 of them, because just read the book of Psalms and you will find every psalm is pointing forward to Jesus. And so there's 150 psalms, and one of them has, 119 verses in one of the chapters. So I'm quite confident that Pastor Kurowski is correct. Now, as I was going through my study, I had lists of prophecies, and they were over 300, but I removed about 30 of them because I didn't really consider them to be appropriate promises fulfillment. But then I added on a number of them that I had found that weren't in any of the lists I was using. So we're going to be not having a Bible study during the season of Lent on Thursday because people are wanting to come also to the Lenten Wednesday service. But the Thursday after Easter, we're going to continue a new Bible study. And what they wanted to do, the first one we're going to look at is the Lord's Prayer. Now, you can do the Lord's Prayer on a Sunday school level, on a youth confirmation level, on an adult confirmation level, but also on an adult Bible study. And in the adult Bible study we're going to be doing, we're going to be taking a look at the original languages and giving you some insights that you normally don't hear about the Lord's Prayer. We did one of them today where it seems to say, forgive us our trespasses insofar. And that is a totally wrong understanding of that Lord's Prayer. And we'll also be talking about what happens when you're unable to forgive someone, because there is a Bible verse. If you don't forgive, God won't forgive. I consider that to be the most difficult Bible verse in the entire scripture. And we'll be taking a look at that at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm. Now, if you're at all available on Wednesday nights and in the St. Charles area, out there on 94, our service is at 7 o'clock every Wednesday night. And we're going through the words of Jesus, his words from the cross. Ash Wednesday, we went, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's six more words, and we're going to be looking at them on the various Wednesdays. Monday, Thursday, we're going to have a different kind of service because and sermon because it's, of course, the Lord's Supper institution. But on Good Friday, the last word from the cross. And then Easter Sunday, a celebration in two services at 8 and 10:30. So we look forward to anybody who's interested. We're also running adult instruction classes, and we're just about finishing two of them up. But it looks like there'll be two more starting probably right after Lent. So if you're at all interested in learning in-depth understanding of Lutheran theology, we'd love to see you there. Now, you don't have to come to the adult instruction to do that. You can purchase a book from Concordia Publishing House. It's called Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. And it's a reader's edition of the Book of Concord. What's the Book of Concord? It is the collection of the confessions, which we love to talk about. And so that's available. And there's some great sections in the Book of Concord on law and gospel. So don't hesitate if you have an opportunity to purchase that from Concordia Publishing House. And on Monday, we're going to be back. I haven't decided what we're going to do Monday. We always do the readings for the following Sunday, which is the second Sunday in Lent. And the trouble is, they are all so good. The Old Testament is about God's promise to Abram that in him all the families of the earth will be blessed. The epistle from Romans 4 is one of the best that I've ever seen, and for law and gospel. And then John 3 is Nicodemus. We just got a few moments here. Let's see what David has to say. David, you're on the air.
Hello. I just had a quick question. Have you or anyone else there done a review of the book or the movie The Shack? I know the movie's coming out today.
I have. I love that book. I did it about 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm really excited to get a copy of the movie.
Okay. Is there anything in the archives, or do you know?
Oh, boy. I haven't kept track of them. But probably what I'll be doing is going over it again soon when the movie comes out. I want to see the movie to see how accurate it is to the book. But I know some people have problems with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit the way they're depicted in the shack. But I think it's one of the best books I've ever read on how a father ends up forgiving an individual who killed his daughter.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okey-doke. Thank you so very much for calling. Yes, The Shack. I really like the book, but I know there were some people who weren't very happy with me when I said that. But we'll be talking perhaps more about that. I just saw a review of it, and so it'll be coming out pretty soon. And I'll either try and find what I talked about or talk about it again. Till Monday, I'm Tom Baker. Looking forward. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.